Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the privilege of speaking to you this morning. As the prophet said, you speak to us. You speak to us in the evening sunlight. You speak to us by nature, by the birds, by all things. You speak to us. But Lord, we know you've spoken to us in this last day by Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, veiled in the prophet, true, and speaking directly to us. And we're grateful that we have a message loud and clear, because we could misinterpret what you are saying through nature. For Lord, we realize all you can say through nature is that you are there somewhere, and we cannot really know about you. But now at this end time, it is truly according to what you said, unveiled before us, as in a glass face to face. And having known in part, we know in full now. We're very grateful for that. Help us therefore to just relax this morning and to hear your word is brought to us by a man that was vindicated. You're yourself giving us reality, Lord. May we receive that reality, becoming full assurance of faith and just resting in the goodness of God, in grace, as the prophet teaches us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, in this message, the message of grace, which was brought in 1961, Brother Branham begins by saying that if my pen should be a sculptor's tool and my paper would be flint, and these words that I say now should be engraved upon this, that it might go to all people. Now, that sounds exactly as though Brother Branham were quoting Scripture, which he is not. That is not a Scripture to be found anywhere in the Bible, to the best of my knowledge, and I think my knowledge is quite complete when I have Strong's Concordance there, which is very complete. But it could be taken from Job 19, 23 to 24. Oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. So Brother Branham does not use that scripture, but I believe speaking absolutely by inspiration of the Holy Ghost that these are words that God put in his mouth concerning this sermon. And let us look at those words again. That if my pen should be a sculptor's tool. Now, what is a sculptor's tool? It is a chisel. A chisel is made out of iron. And my paper, that's what he's going to write upon, should be flint. What is flint? It's a very hard rock that sparks when it is struck by steel. So therefore, the paper will be flint. And the sculptor's tool will be iron. And when the words are engraved, those words will strike fire and light, which signifies illumination and warmth and those things in life which we know to be scriptural. And these words that I say now should be engraved upon this. So therefore, it's an engraving upon rock. And an engraving upon metal is not so good because it rusts. It would be quite apparent that an engraving upon flint would be far superior, so that it would show the permanency and the power of that word at this particular time. And he said that it should be graved upon this flint, that it might go to all peoples. In other words, whatsoever is said here should be of such vital force and proven to be of such vital force that it goes to people and it would do what God wants that word to do for the people. So this is what Brother Branham is saying, that he himself is actually writing to us in such a manner that if this is permanent, will never pass away, absolutely is what is for the people of this hour. Now, he goes on to say, God's Holy Spirit has strange ways of dealing with his people. And that is true. They are strange, of course, according to us. And word strange doesn't mean simply eerie. It would mean also very peculiar, because we would not perhaps anticipate it to be that way. Now, he says, many times through wonders and through gifts and callings, which callings and gifts, of course, are without repentance, is how God deals and gives whatever he wants dealt to the people, and it is all by grace. So, let's just consider this, that many times through wonders and through gifts and calling. Now, just starting with the idea of wonders, we would automatically go to the book of Hebrews, the second chapter, as far as I recall. That's where it is. And it says here, in the second chapter, verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to those things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now his words, engraved with an engraver's tool, sculptor's tool, which is iron, on flint, bringing forth the light and life that lies there, the illumination and the power. All right. We don't want to let them slip, therefore they're graven in stone. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, engraven in the stone, you can't change it, you can't move it, what has been written is there, so don't try to fool with it. And all you can do by fooling with it is change the meaning to yourself. You can't change that word. You see what I'm saying? For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and this graven work here would be steadfast, like Brother Branham said in the rapture, take three times, thus it has been spoken, thus it shall be, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense reward. Now, what would be the transgression and the disobedience? It would be, in some form, denying that word, whether you walk by it, right? Said, who cares? What's this anyway? Or you looked at it and said, that doesn't line up with my thinking, so I don't know if that's right. I never heard my preacher say it. Or you say, hey, look, I've got as much right as that fellow to find things out. Or I don't agree at all. Or that's the devil. Now, let's look at it. The word received gets a reward. The word not received, and I don't care how you don't receive it. You see? It's a transgression. And receives its reward, a recompense. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now that scripture is true, but it's not true. For the Lord began to do before he began to teach. In other words, his ministry vindicated, proved that he was the authority. And they said, this man speaks with authority. What authority? Because he could raise his voice and emphasize certain words and use a certain inflection, and that was it? No! The authority lay in what we're looking at. God bearing him witness. God bearing them witness. I'm reading from here and putting the singular for Christ and the double for here. Both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. He is speaking here, first of all, and I am speaking in Hebrews here. Number one, the first great minister of God, which is Jesus Christ, born in human flesh. Then comes these other ministers. Now, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. But God did not stop there. Let us go back here to the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We're all familiar. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The measure of the gift of Christ. The complete totality and manifestation of salvation of God in Christ. Now listen, that measure is turned over to the church. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it? He first descended also into the lower parts of the earth. Now, that wasn't the body, that was the soul. He that descended, the one that went up and came back. That's why Brother Branham could say that the Holy Spirit actually would be the soul of Jesus. You could say that. I don't want to carry that too far. That's too deep for me. Just thank God for the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of life, that's all I'm going to say. That is the same that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things, and he gave. According to the measure of the gift of Christ, that God so loved his Son, he gave the earth, the Word rather, he gave his only begotten Son, that they might be saved, and this is the process whereby it is done through a ministry. And he had 12 apostles began it. And it's been handed down not through apostolic succession, but through divine election. Until the fullness that was poured into Christ is poured into the church via the way that God poured it. Which was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And it became flesh, so the same Word continuously from the mind of God is poured down the bride through the way that God ordained it by flesh to flesh. For if God had to put upon flesh in order to know what it was to suffer, then He hasn't abandoned the flesh. See? He hasn't abandoned His ways of doing it in the flesh. That's why the church is so bankrupt. Denominations are finished. See, if you don't have a leadership which is constituted by God, you're finished. So I don't need leadership. You are ridiculous. You're insane this morning. Spiritually insane. You transgress the very law of Almighty God. You've been taught wrong. You've got to come under authority. God never has abandoned it. So we begin to see gifts. Those aren't the only gifts. But those are the gifts that bring the church to perfection. These gifts in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, do not bring the church to perfection. But it can bring in disarray and disorder. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different administrations, the same Lord. Different ways of operation, same God doing it. But the manifestation of Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, God set these in the church in order to be complementary to the ministries that are already there and work in perfect harmony to bring it to a beautiful and a wonderful climax. But He allowed this so that men can take it under the true anointing of God, they themselves being false, and cause great disruption. Because they will definitely be then in competition with the true gifts to the church, which are men, which are ministries. These are not ministries in the legitimate sense of the word we're talking about. They can be if they're used where they're supposed to be used. So Brother Branham is taking a very heavy pen with a very powerful hammer. And his blows are drawing fire, and they drew fire until a vindicated servant of God was called the devil. I know you Pentecostals, and I'm one of them. There's not too many here, thank God. There's a few of us. Old Norman sitting there, me standing up here, and I guess Pete, and you came from one to another like I did. A good old Presbyterian hogwash, the Pentecostal hogwash. And we know what it was when the Nazarenes blasphemed the Holy Ghost at Nyack, or rather the Missionary Alliance, and the Nazarenes did too. And when the fire rolled through the building, they saw a manifestation, people spoke in tongues, and the Missionary Alliance branded that of the devil, they died. And when the Nazarenes did, they died. And when Pentecost branded this, they died. You say, no, Brother Dale, don't know me. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to meet you the judgment throne, the great white throne. You might not know that. And I'm perfectly relaxed. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound to save a wretch like me. Take my dirty dog ways, just as I am without one plea. I'm the same guy that you see here is going to stand right there. The only change is geography. Now look everybody in the eye, and I don't have any fear to say I'll be there. And you put your finger on me, it won't do you any good. Because you haven't come under grace than I have. This is the subject of grace. You're going to take a chisel made out of steel and a strong hammer. He's going to hit the flint, which is paper, which is people also, living epistles, and he's going to draw sparks. But if you're the right kind of flint, as the prophet hews out, he's supposed to hew out from the flinty rock and draw a message of grace and water of grace, you'll stand there. You won't have any trouble. Not a bit. Now listen, these gifts and callings are without repentance. A man phoned me the other day and he said, Brother Vail, I understand you know a little bit more about the prophet on marriage and divorce concerning ministers, and perhaps some people do. What do you know about marriage and divorce? I said, you mean a man that was married, a preacher, got divorced and remarried, and now wants to preach? He said, yep. I said, go ahead and preach. But I said, I'm going to tell you what Oral Roberts said, and he said the truth. God forgives you, but the people won't. But Brother Branham told me categorically, if God cannot forgive a man for that, what can he forgive him for? And I said, you're right, Brother Branham, that is not the unforgivable sin. You know my stand on that, and I'm telling you, is I will meet you at the judgment day. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you a lie, knowing that I've got to account, if there's 80 people here, I've got to account for 80 lies because you believe me. That means 80-fold I've got to stand for one little word, 80 times. I'm not exactly stupid. A little insane, yes. A little ignorant, yes, but not stupid. I'm telling you the truth. So you see, the gifts and callings are without repentance. And furthermore, let's go to Psalm 68, spoken of in the first in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. It says right here, and this is concerning Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also. Who are rebellious? Those that went against the ordained servant of God, Moses. The chosen one of the hour. In the Exodus, particularly. And they said, listen here, old boy. Don't think you're the only guy that God uses. We've got gifts too. And Moses grew stiff. I've told you many a time how that Moses, when they treated him like a dirty dog, they'd pull the rug from under him, do everything in the book. They didn't care 2 cents what he came back with from God. They used every excuse to turn their backs. And he kept pleading, Lord, he said, if you kill them, kill me. Oh, God, don't touch them. But in this moment, listen, this meekest man in the world rose up and said, oh, God, if they're telling the truth, he said, I'll tell you that I'm wrong. Now, he said, if they're wrong, you'll deal with them, not in the customary manner of death. And God said, that's what I'll do. And he destroyed them in the fiery pit. They went down alive to the fiery pit. That's what those gifts can do. And they are without repentance. You think, well, hey, maybe God will take those gifts away from those people that are off the word. No, he won't. No, he won't. Right to the white throne judgment, they will account for them. Now remember and understand this. When Brother, and my thoughts are still clear, so watch carefully what I'm saying. When Brother Branham presented Jesus Christ in chapter 1 of the Revelation, he made him the judge. Then he took him by projection right down to the white throne. That shows you that everything in this hour is a miniature, a type of the white throne. That's right. That this word prepares us for the millennium. Gets us ready for the white throne. And we will stand in judgment against those of the false anointed ones. They're anointed correctly, but falsely to the word of Almighty God. They will not escape. So you see what we're dealing with. And I want you to understand that, brother, sister, because let not this go over your heads. We're not like other churches. I don't care any other church does. This is our church. This is our responsibility. That's why I keep cautioning you. Keep praying and be very sincere about these things. Because as of now, you are already projected to the white throne. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's why when Greg talked to me yesterday, he said, Brother Vail, I won't forget what you said. He said, we have been taught right in our church. There'll be no excuse. And as you said, don't come sneaking around afterward. If your marriage fails, you marry the wrong one. That's exactly true, and I mean that. Listen, we are in a too late program, a once for all revelation of Hebrews 6. You don't have time to make a future assessment. Your assessment is going now, at this very moment. Now, he says God gives them to his people by grace. And it is the grace of God that is manifested. And so in the season of grace which this is, God is duty bound. As never before, that the wheat and the tares receive the same rain and the same sun, the same blessing, the same everything. But there's a difference, what? In the germ. And you can be so close to the real thing that at the end time God calls the Pentecostal chaff in one place. Because they're the last. They didn't ask for it. I'm not condemning them. This is the Word. I didn't make them what they were. I came out of them. They gave me a bad time. All churches do. Like the whale gave Jonah a bad time, but he came out. All right. I'm not condemning them. They're already condemned, not by me, but by the Word of God. So listen to it. There is such a strict closeness, the razor edge, at a certain period, at the end time, that is called a chaff, which is a part of the wheat. But the Bible says he separates the tares from the wheat. So now the identity is known. And when identified, it is no longer a part of the stock. It is a part of that which my heavenly Father has not planted, shall be uprooted, leaving neither root nor branch. The chaff will he burn with fire indestructible. The tares also will he burn, having been bundled. So therefore, at the end time, it is very strange that all the world bound together in the ecumenical system, the organization which Pentecostal people fought and abhorred. And Pentecostal people know their terrors. But they cannot know the day of their visitation, because that would be contrary to the Word of Almighty God. No group that had just left God ever did know the day of visitation, or they turned. Isn't that right? Now let's see if history proves right. We're here saying they're wrong, and I came out of them. And I was one of their preachers. I know better than anybody sitting here what it's all about. Don't try to tell me. I know the miracles, I know the power, I know the gifts, I know it all. That's right. I know the Methodist and the Presbyterian. I know the Baptist. I've got enough background to know. Now we're going to stand here and wait for that day. And it's upon us. And everybody knows it. And they're all preaching it. But they're all saying millions now living will never die. And we say billions are going to die. And in ratio and proportion, according to the days of Noah, you better not look for very many to rise above it in a secret so-called rapture. There will be so few that nobody will miss them. Yeah. Sitting here this morning, I just got thinking. Joe says he wants to leave St. Catharines and move into Windsor. He'd be 3 hours drive from here maximum, come down every Sunday anytime he felt like it. Well, I thought that's stupid, why not come all the way and save the 3 hours? But that's up to him. Maybe he just can't make it. And I thought, not just a minute. I was thinking about this thing. What if he decides to sell everything he's got and he's going to move to Windsor? Nobody knows too much about what he's going to do. And nobody cares too much. Got a few friends, but just like me, there's not that many. So why worry? What if he decides he's going to sell his car at home? There's just the only thing he did decide, and take a train. He could take a train across there and ship his stuff. Suddenly, Joe and Jenny and the two boys aren't there anymore. We say, well, he got off at London instead of going all the way to Windsor. Maybe he did this, or who knows? Well, you know, who knows? Now he's bought a house to move his furniture in, but the house sits vacant. And people say, well, the house has been vacant. We don't know when old Joe's coming. We don't even know if Joe is coming, because we don't know Joe. So the house sits there, and who gives a rip? And the freight company say, well, what's the matter with that bird? Rascally sounds like a rascal. So old rascal, rascal, he's got, oh, no, he's not too bad a rascal, because it's been prepaid. But he better come and get it, because we're going to charge storage on it. And he doesn't show up. That's not unusual. Not going to be very many make it. They're going to be taken away a few at a time, Brother Bennett said. Now, if there's only a dozen of them, that's 4 to 1. It's getting narrowed down, isn't it? Getting narrowed down. God's Holy Spirit has strange ways in dealing with his people. Notice we're called people of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost people. Many times through wonders, through gifts and callings, which all are without repentance. God gives all of this by grace. Now, what is grace anyway? Grace is not only unmerited favor, but grace is this. You didn't expect it, and he did it anyway. I went the other day just to the restaurant. I like going to the Fujiyama over here in North Cleveland Street in Columbus. So they serve Japanese food, as you can well guess. And it's all prepared in front. It's very good, clean food. Doesn't give you the heebie-jeebies. And so we ordered chicken teriyaki, and for $7.95, that sounded pretty good because we didn't want to go home and cook dinner. We knew what they'd give us. They started with a nice bowl of soup, and then they give you a nice salad with a very special dressing, which is very nice. And then they start, they bring on the other food due in front of you, like they give you nice onion chopped up with squash. Now, you might like the zucchini. I love it. It's delicious. A little bit of stuff on it, and then he's mixing something else, the chicken there. But the surprise was this, which was grace, as far as I'm concerned. They brought up some nice shrimp, and I thought, well, no, I wonder who ordered shrimp. Well, somebody. But he didn't all watch him eat it. But you know, they gave me and my wife a nice portion of shrimp, and everybody a portion of shrimp. That's grace. I wasn't expecting the shrimp when I got it. And I didn't really pay for it because it said chicken teriyaki, not a word about shrimp. That was a bonus. That's grace. Now that's where you're sitting today. Who expected a prophet? Who expected a revival granted the church through signs and wonders and healings and miracles? We didn't, but it was everything. Isn't that great? Well, I knew there was healing. I knew there was this, but I didn't know this. And I sat there, and the prophet said, I challenge you, bring me 24 of your worst cases. Nobody budged. And I saw the most grotesque people go, being carried up and everything else, and everyone, bam, just healing miracles. Just, I suppose, hundreds in one night. You talk about whipped cream on your Boston cream pie, baked by angels, heavenly recipe and heavenly food. Man, I thought I was hard as the so-called hubs of hell. You came near my house and I'd say, why don't you just turn me over with the devil? Your preacher's got all the answers. You're so smart. See, oh, Lee, don't stay in your condition. Come on back preaching, boy. Go on bad preaching yourself. I ran the Baptist off. He never came back. I don't feel sorry. Ran the Pentecostals off, except they had enough brains, my two Pentecostal friends, to just let me be. To one guy, that goofball Bill Drury, one of my very best loving friends, and I still love him. And I knew Brother Branham's in town, but I didn't want to go near him. Why should I go near him? What's he got? What do I want that he's got? Who gives a rip? And be between him and my wife, what a mess I married, got me to go there. And he got me into one seat that nobody else could get. An old tough boy wept for 2 hours flat. Was all gone. Grace. Grace. Dying of TB is a pituitary gland. Hating every moment of life, as it were. Grace. I didn't expect it. I'd given up on it. I didn't even want it. As far as I was concerned, there was no eternal hell anyway, and who gave a rip? And you know why? I was amongst the lovely Pentecostals and the lovely fundamentalists. I never met such lovely liars. Such lovely cheats. Such spiritual adulterers. And I said, you can have it. And I walked off. And I wish I hadn't. Perhaps it was the only way that God could get my mind turned around. Blanked it all out. Because it wasn't worth two bits. In the first place, it was a detriment. Grace. I said, I'm home now, kind of a little vacation, right? I usually take the time to, at home, long this time of year, because I like to relax when I go hunting with squirrels. And he says, here, I've been down in Kentucky with my friends this week. He's just a little bit. He's just telling about himself why he's there. Hunting squirrels, my favorite spot. Somehow I was discouraged, and not exactly because I could find those squirrels, but I felt discouraged. Now notice this is the topic of grace. He's feeling pretty low. Something was telling me I must return home, and I slept in the car coming back. Last year, as you all know, which is on print. Now he said, I've got my graver's tool and I'm going to print. Said it's in print. What he's going to tell you is true, and don't forget it. Don't argue, don't fuss. As you all know, which is on print, also in testimony and in the tapes, I was sitting at a place here in Indiana where the Lord came down and spoke to me that my second ministry was ready to take place in the near future, and there was spoken into existence three squirrels. Okay, let's just go back to the book of Acts, chapter 1, 24 to 25. And let us see this, because it better be scriptural. And the Lord said, the Lord spoke into existence. Right? Let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind. Cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind, it was so. And the Lord made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, everything creeps upon the earth after his kind, and God saw it was good. So what did God do? Through act of spoken word creation and molding, by the same word he brought forth. And Brother Branham said, God will create again from the dust the calcium, the potash, cosmic energy, petroleum, all the things he mentioned, which don't necessarily have to be a part, but we're all a part of it out here somehow. And he said, it will not be God populating the earth through sex again, but God will create again. And this is a sign of the resurrection, God creating again. As he did in the first part of the first resurrection. This is your type. This is why this is engraven with a steel chisel. This is why it will draw sparks on your flint. And whether you take the chisel or not, it will still draw sparks. Do you believe that any man could stand like Moses and create squirrels? Not that Moses ever created a flea or a fly or a bug, or Moses ever turned any water into blood, or Moses ever did anything except open his mouth. And it sounds like Moses was even too stupid to want to open his mouth. I like people like that. You're not proud. And all, you're not all geared up to sell you a bill of goods. Come and see this. You got to have it. Got to have it. No. No salesman. No. God did it. Jesus said, the Father in me, he doeth the works. Verifying the very words that I speak. See? So, here is vindication. All of you know the story. Did it draw sparks? Is it engraven there? Somehow going up the road while I let the rest of the boys off going hunting, I had a strange feeling to go to this place again. Now he said, I'm telling you about what happened this time that happened a year ago. I'm telling you it's the same place where I was. It was before daylight, raining, and I didn't even know whether they'd get to hunt or not. But that I would get over in the field there. He's going to go a certain place. Hunting means to get alone to yourself to pray. And I stopped the car and got off and walked across the road and went over into the bush. And just before it would have been daylight, kind of gray at dawn, I'd stopped and had offered a little prayer, word of prayer, as usual, telling Father that just what I have need of to provide it. I don't believe in wasting anything or destroying. Never shot a bird in my life for target practice or anything else. What I hunt to eat or give to someone that does eat it. I don't believe in wasting anything. I don't believe in doing those things because it's not right. Now, that's a lesson to all of us here. Two. Then as I turned and I started down a familiar little pathway by the side of a pasture that crossed over to an L shape in the woods, and something strange took place. Of all my experiences, I have never had anything like that. I looked at the top of the hill to my left from where I was standing, and there coming up out of, like the top of the hill, seemingly, it looked like out of the hill itself, were three rainbows. And they were running some 30 foot high. First I looked and saw the light, and I just turned back because I thought it might be the sun rising. Upon second thought, it wasn't toward the sun, it was toward the south. Well, that, you know, couldn't be. It couldn't be the sun. It hasn't even risen yet. It's not going to be so. Another thing, it was smooth, cloudy rain, raining all over. Now, I think he meant smooth. It was consistently the same. There was, in other words, not getting darker or lighter. It was just, you know, consistent. Or like sun breaking through or something. Or the rain lifting. That was August the 25th, last Friday morning, and you know how it was raining, and it's smooth clouds everywhere. In other words, it's a complete layer. I think that's what he means. Nothing breaking through or just even rolling around. You know how it just stands there at times? And I looked again, and there it was, growing taller and taller, three rainbows. I took off my hat. I set down my gun. I started walking towards it with my hands up. Something just seemed to tell me this is close enough. I was going to sit down and take off my boots that I had on to see if I could walk a little closer. That's nice. Yeah, that's a man like that would do that. Very respectful, but wanting to know more. You know, that's how God will reward you. If you're really respectful and humble and honest and you want to know more. You know, a lot of people only want to know more because they can do something with themselves and gain something. You know, Brother Branham could not use his gift of healing for himself. When he prayed for Billy Paul got well. He prayed for the, I forget his name out here. It's Sister Weiss' brother. Their cancer on the ear, he got well. And he pulled up his pant leg and he had a huge, ugly bruise that could not get well. Had to take his time. He couldn't use it well. So this depicts the man here. This is a good picture. The humility and the sweetness. You know, not barging in, not trying to grab, but just saying, I'm going to come closer if I can. Because I believe this is from God. I like that. See, that's what we should. That's what we're trying to do here. Yes. We're not trying to be somebody. If you are, forget it. You're already licked. The devil's a million times smarter than you are. A billion times smarter than I am. And there's only one person that doesn't outsmart himself, and that's God. And we're not God. But we can have God helping us not to outsmart ourselves. So that's good. And we don't grudge anybody. Don't try to trick your ministries. No. If we're going to be any value at all, we've got to help people in ministries. Be complimentary. I got within a few yards of it, and I saw the color of it misting, like a fog moving around. And I stood still for a few moments. It was coming right out of the top of the little mountain. And I watched as the three, now watch, one to the right, one to the left, one in the center, running down into one bowl-like. He said, like a common receptacle, which I could epitomize or call a bowl, and the rainbows were coming out, one, and two, and three, and moving. Moving in, moving, moving, moving. Maybe I'll draw it a little later, but we'll get to the paragraph I want to draw it, I'll draw it. Ever what it was, whatever it was alive. He said, now, rainbows don't live. Fog doesn't live. This did and does live. Because it was the same thing that God said to Moses. Moses, there are prophets that can have dreams and visions, and I speak to them. But you are different. I will speak with you face to face and in a form that is visible that you can see. Now, had I been there with the prophet, I would not have seen the rainbows. I was in the room with him with a pillar of fire wrote on the walls, and I did not see it. And personally, I did not even care to see it. My attitude is one of respect to God's office when he fills the office, officers when he fills the office. So I said, Brother Branham, I don't see it, but I do see the one who does see it, and that's fine by me. And that's exactly where I stand today. I don't have to see it, but I want to see it for it. To put me in debt? You know, I could be carried away and say, snap pictures of me. Snap pictures. Somebody's got to see it, Brother Branham saw over me. It's got to be on a camera because he got his taken. Hogwash. It might turn out to be something I didn't want to see. So what do? You see, you believe the prophet. You believe the prophet, right? Oh, you know, I could get carried away with those things. And do you think maybe it would take God to carry me back? In the meantime, the devil might ride me pretty hard. Well, you want to be Satan's horse in a rodeo? Or you think you can buck him to death and he'll use his spurs on you and riddle you to death? No, we don't want that, no. Running down into what looked like one bowl, whatever it was alive, was moving and making its motions, and I stood there just as it was graying at dawn. I turned and looked again, and I screamed out, "Oh God, what would you have your servant to know?" Just then the Spirit of the Lord came on in and said, now watch, Jesus of the New Testament is Jehovah of the Old. He only changed his mask from spirit to man. All right? Jesus of the New Testament is Jehovah of the Old. He only changed his mask from spirit to man. So what he's telling you here is it's the one God in the various masks. And whatever mask he used in the Old Testament, according to a certain dispensation of 33 and a half years, he used a mask of a man which was born of a woman by the life of God, having nothing more to do with Mary than she was a surrogate mother. And you notice all the words we use today and what is going on perfectly pictures this. And right today there's a big brouhaha in the newspaper over the surrogate mother who now wants the baby.
Yeah. Amen.
Ha! So does the Catholic Church. So does the Protestant Church. The Methodist, the Baptist, the whole bunch wants the baby. I got news. God doesn't have a bunch of surrogate mothers. He's got one that's going to bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's his bride. She's the one that had the spiritual affair, believe me. Her mind's thoroughly impregnated with and only with the word of the Almighty God, and she will bring him down here. Not the rest. Brother, sister, you can't read your papers and not know what's going on today. The heavens declare it. The earth declares it. And man, in spite of himself, has to declare it. For every tongue shall confess that he is Christ. How are they going to do it? They're going to do what I'm talking about right now. You see, you yourselves manifested it. You yourselves knew it, but you wouldn't take it when it was declared unto you. No, couldn't do it. Follow what I'm saying? Okay, let's go back to paragraph 24 again. And I looked again, and there it was growing taller and taller, three rainbows. I took off my hat, set down my gun. The voice said, "This is close enough." Took off my boots. But I got within a few yards of it and saw the color of it. Now, it's color now. Misting like a fog, moving around, pillar of fire, you know, twining and entwining, folding, unfolding. I stood still a few minutes, coming right out of the top of the mountain. I watched the three, one to the right, one to the left, one in the center, running down into one bowl. It was alive, moving and making its motions. And the Spirit said concerning this phenomena, which is a picture, which is literally a veil. Now, he's describing the whole, what is called the Trinity, which is not a Trinity, it is a triunity of not three gods. As Brother Branham said, if you make Jesus the Word, you have a Trinity. And he's speaking of the man, as though there were three gods, and the great Father God, whatever he would be, he must have made a terrible mistake. Because he made a man that got out of hand by the devil. Now, he'd already made the devil, and he got out of hand. Now, man's got out of hand. So he said, "Who will go for me and help me? Help me out." Now, can you believe that God would be that kind of a God? I would be repelled by that kind of a God. And the second God said, "I will go down and die for them." He said, "That's nice." How could anybody be ridiculous like that? Then how could you make Jesus himself a baby born to be God and die, and God can't die? So there can't be two gods, even though there's a son. He did have a son. We'll hear more about that. Here's your three right here. What it was, he tells you, three manifestations, three office coming out of one. And it's all the one person. That was, now I'll read it again. Jesus of the New Testament is Jehovah the Old. And Jesus is me, actually is the word Joshua. And Joshua means Jehovah Savior. So, Joshua, or Jehovah Savior of the New Testament, is Jehovah Savior of the Old Testament. That's what Brother Branham said, that if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he will now do here in his spirit what he did there in the flesh. And then he said he's the same one that stood before Abraham. How in the world are you going to reconcile that unless you know that God was in Christ? Lo, a body was prepared. God made his own body. That was confirming, of course, my message of him, letting me know, assured that these 31 years haven't been in vain. See, in vain do you have it if you aren't right. As I started to approach, it began to go away and went down, here to speak into existence. I took off my hat again and said, Lord God, you are still the same Jesus, that's Jehovah, of the Old Testament. You are still God. And something said to me, how many do you need this time? Now notice how prosaic and mundane and common God can get. See? Now you think that God doesn't... Now listen, God spoke to this man. God never talked to me that way. But the same impression of language came to me. See, when I was mumbling about the fact that I didn't have a car. And I can't remember the exact impression that came by words, but the idea was, who said you couldn't have a car? That's how God deals with people. You think that God is going to be so precise that it takes a university and a college professor rolled into a theologian to understand him? You're nuts. He talks the vernacular of this nation. That's why William Brown spoke in 20th century Bible. And I do the same thing. It may be gutter, but the people are in the gutter. When you're wretched and miserable, naked and blind and don't know it, you're gutterfied. And that's a new word I just made up. You can put that one down too. Something's wrong somewhere. Okay, how many can you this time? Now watch him answer. Dear Lord, if I could just be allowed to speak. And pardon me while I get a better education so you'll understand me better. You think he did that? I said, just as I did the other time, the limit. You know, Brother Branham did tell us, one day we'll wake up and find there's a naturalness. How many of you ever really read the Old Testament? I mean, really read it. Not just mumbled through, but really read it. And notice the humanity of those old prophets. Sheep. I want to tell you, they weren't just rugged. They were something. They would not pass in high society. They would not be invited to the governor's ball or to any church senator conclave. You better believe it. Read the Bible sometime yourself. You know, they could call an axe, and know that it was an axe. They could call a Limburger cheese sandwich, and know it was a Limburger cheese sandwich. You know what I'm getting at? I hope you're getting far beyond what I'm saying. To understand, they spoke according to life, and they weren't ashamed. And they didn't make anything of it, good, bad, or especially good, bad, or indifferent. They took it as it was, and they lived it as it was with God. And they weren't, how will I put it? They were not synthetic. And what they did was not cosmetic. There was reality. No skin grafts. No eye, no skin, you know, they call facelift. You get old, your jaws aren't quite so good. Don't go to the doctor and get them padded out. I wouldn't mind something up here in my teeth. I'm being a bite my lip now. They're getting saggy. Well, I'm old saggy bag, you'll get a new one in the resurrection. So praise God for a few bites. I like those old boys. I love that. I love David. He was so human. He's possibly a bit too human, but I like that too. I like that too. Shows the grace of God. How many do you need? The limit. Then I said, watch. I shall have this limit before 10 o'clock today. He's getting bold and brassy like Abraham. Now, Lord, you wouldn't mind if I cut that figure down to 30? Oh, you would do it for 30? Well, 20? Sure, 20, no problem. I don't mean to have fun. I'm not having fun at God. I just want to show you this, that God takes us the way we are. It's amazing grace. And he's working in amazing grace now, if we only believed it, to believe what he said. I'm taking a chisel here and hammering this out onto living epistles. The sparks are going to fly, but you're going to get a lot of light and warmth with it. And strange as it seems, just then I was in a very bad mosquito area where it was infected with mosquitoes and kind of a swampland, and great big mosquito came and to bite me right by the eye, and I said, not one of them will bother me this day. And I didn't have any repellent or anything with me. And before I knew it, I said, the sun will shine within 30 minutes. The Bible said you fill your mouth with good things. And the way the prophet likes squirrels, God is going to fill his mouth with good things. I never did have the prophet's taste. I admit that I was squeamish. They taste good, but frog legs taste good, and I can't stand them. Well, I could if I had them. No more than I said that till just behind me a squirrel, exactly like the one last year, young red, jumped out in a limb about 70 yards away and began barking. I turned around, and at that long distance, I could barely, through the powerful scope, see his eye. Just shot, that's all. Didn't even have an aim at no more than over the squirrel. That's, he just aimed to get the squirrel the best he could. And the bullet was exactly smack at the eye where it was the other time. On down through the woods I went, exactly 3 minutes of 10 o'clock, I shot my third squirrel, just like it was last year, just exactly the same, at 3 minutes before 10. God being my solemn judge, not one mosquito even buzzed all day long, right where there were tons of them, if they could be weighed out. I never even saw or heard one. I was listening for them to see if I could, and I heard a humming. I thought, there's someone somewhere, and listen, it was a truck way back on the highway. And exactly 30 minutes from that time, the sun shone out good and bright. Then I came back to the place I'd been thinking, and when I said limit, that meant 5 squirrels, which is the limit in Indiana. But I remember last year when he asked me how many for a mess, I said 3, and I just got 3. So yesterday I went back, was going to the same place, and something said, do not go, cross the road. And exactly 10 o'clock, on the exact dot, 10 o'clock, with my watch, I shot the Indiana limit, the 5th squirrel. So you see, he got 2 more past the 3. I want you to notice now, there were 3 rainbows. There were 3 things said. The 3 squirrels gotten. There were 3 things, 3 squirrels by 10 o'clock. Now that's what he wanted at that time. No mosquitoes. The sun would shine in 30 minutes. And there were 3 to give witness to it. Brother Bang Woods, my son Billy, and Billy's son David, to give witness to it. And I saw those rainbows about as wide across as that halo is. Now, you can't see from here, but behind there is that picture with the halo. Now, this is what I wanted to draw your attention. And when I saw those rainbows about as wide across as that halo is, the angel of the Lord. Yeah. Looks like I run out of pencils up here. I was going to draw that out, but I don't see any pencils here. Anyway, we don't have one. It's all right. Just to give you an idea what we're looking at and try to reconcile some of these things that he said here about 30 feet and so on. Because it does sound a little incongruous, and I didn't want to missed that if I could do anything. Well, it's all right if you haven't got one. Or here. Oh, that's good. Thank you. Anyone will do. Just be. We'll take the darker color here. Now, according to, he said, about a wide across as that halo. Now, he could have been speaking in 2 ways. In a ratio and proportion, which meant out in the field, proportionally, it would look to him the width of this. See what I mean? On the other hand, it could have been that width. And see, the rainbows, which I'm not good at drawing, coming up, the 3 of them, just 3 in here out of 1, arcs coming in. He could have meant that this was up 30 feet above his eye level. 30 feet to there. Not as though they were 30 feet high. Otherwise, it would have to be speaking in a manner of proportion. So many, like, if this was across here, 4 inches, this would be in feet. You know how it is, you take and you measure things in perspective, you hold your arm out here and you take a ruler. And use your ears up here, now let's say this was a 6-inch ruler, I just slide this under exactly, squint my eye, and I move my thumb, and I can tell exactly how many inches, if it be inches, I'm going to put that speaker in up there in proportion to the room. Now, you all know how to do that. That's an old trick. You've been taught that since you're in the cradle. I figured it out myself, but I forgot that I couldn't crook my arm, and I couldn't figure why I didn't get it quite right. So I was taught how to keep your arm rigid. So that's what we're looking at here. Just wanted to bring that to your attention to show you I don't see any discrepancy here. It's a matter of what he had in his mind, and I'm not exactly sure. So, when I saw those rainbows about as wide across as the halo is, that angel of the Lord, which that's what he speaks about, but there were three of them running into one. Now, they're running into one, the way he said to the left and to the right and all, would have to signify running into one bowl, as it were. Now, you could also take that over in this direction here, if you wanted to put it there, and you could have the rainbows coming like this here, where there's the middle one, the left to the right, and the one running down in to like this residue here, like this were some type of fluid, like you can see them in the various malls you go, where they use a hydraulic fluid, and you can see them going around. That's no hydraulic fluid. That was the Spirit of the living God manifested in the form of color, perhaps the pillar of fire visibly showing itself in the color. Okay, but there were three of them running into one. Oh, how it helped my heart to know that God, to know that God, the one God we're talking about. Jesus is not just a man as people think he is. Now, he doesn't take away the understanding he is a man. Because he is a man. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. If you believe in a high priest, you've got to believe in a man, because God cannot be high priest to himself. Actually, he's got to have a man. See, there is one mediator between man and God. And God is of one. So what happened? God and man did not get together and find somebody. God came down in a human form, became his own mediator through the flesh, which had his own personality because he was born. It was at the River Jordan that body animated, and that came from the very life of God itself, became the temple of God. Now, we've all gone through that through the understanding of chromosomes and genes and so on. Jesus is not just a man as people think. He is just a prophet, as this modern idea today thinks that Jesus is just a prophet. He's Jehovah of the Old Testament made flesh and dwelt among us. And there, that sure did comfort me. Then thinking on that subject that God had sought so many people. I think I'm not sure this is a true translation or a literal taking down of the words Brother Branham said, because this is strange. It could be that God sought to tell the people, and they missed something he's saying here. Now, watch what he says. There is a group of people that call themselves the oneness or the Jesus only. I don't agree with them upon their theory. So that blacks that out. Now remember, Brother Branham stands between the oneness and the threeness. And he said, I'm neither one. He said, their doctrines are wrong. But he did believe in one God. In that respect, he was oneness. But he wasn't oneness with the people of the denominations. Neither do I agree with that Trinitarian group that says there are three different gods, the extreme of the Trinitarians. But I believe that the three, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, are one. That they are three offices of one God. He lived in fatherhood in the pillar of fire. He lived in the sonship in Jesus Christ. Now listen, he's still the Father. He's still the Creator, still God. And he lives now in the Holy Ghost in his church. The same Lord Jesus that was made flesh and dwelt among us is with us this day among us in the form of the Holy Spirit. So what do we see here? We see the Holy Spirit moving. And the revelation is this one God, one substance, which is Spirit, manifests three times in order to bring to the people what God himself wants of himself known and given to the people, and whatever gifts would accrue to it, whatever responsibilities. It's the same God from Genesis 1 and 1 to Revelation, the concluding verse of the 22nd chapter. See? Now, of all the experiences, when I first turned and saw it, thinking first it could be the sun that peeped through a cloud somewhere, But it was before suntime. Then when I turned back and saw it wasn't the light, it was rainbows. And when I looked and saw that, I became numb all over. Just someone said to me, did you feel like shouting? No, I didn't feel like shouting. Those experiences never make you feel like shouting. What are they supposed to do? They just make you feel anchored. Just where you know that there's something that tells you, just a satisfied feeling. Therefore, the baptism with the Holy Ghost does not go beyond the feeling of anything but a satisfaction you know that you know. Therefore, it is without sensations, because the mind is without sensation. The mind works best without sensations. If you're going to let your sensations and feeling clutter you up, you don't have much chance of getting too much. That's why I never could stand to teach to people who wanted to be always shouting amen and squirming and everything else. I've had to tell people, saying, look, I know how you feel, but you please keep quiet because you're making somebody else miss what I'm trying to get across to them. That's why this church here be awfully dead alongside some churches. And when I go to their churches, I can't stand their so-called aliveness. Because I was all through this with Brother Branham. They screamed, they shouted, they hollered, and they were only shouting and hollering because of his own energy up there. They weren't getting it. So how do you know? Well, you know what he said. There weren't five. Got it. When he preached a very simple sermon. See? Okay. Now those things are truth. I know we have things that said that many times people, some say, oh, I don't believe in such stuff as that, like this here. I say, I can't vouch for that. I don't know. I can only vouch for what I know to be the truth. And God Almighty, who wrote this Bible, and I am his servant, he knows that that is the truth. Now that's up for debate. That's entirely up for debate. Nobody has to believe it. And you won't either unless you're one of those peculiar people that is destined to it. See, if God made anything and God did anything, or there's something out here that's being done, there's got to be a response. There's got to be. Or God is at completely at odds with himself. What kind of a God are we serving? So I don't care whether God empowered the devil, and then the devil did it, and the devil wouldn't do it unless he could get a response. You don't do things except you know you get a response. And many times, because you don't want the response, you're going to get. You wish you wouldn't get the response, but you're pretty glad you did what you did. But you didn't like the response. But always you get a response. Right? Always. So, what's behind this? Something is. What is?
The devil.
No, I don't find it that way. Whatever in me says, hey, that's God. I like that. Now, years ago, I saw the devil work in discernment, so to speak. Which, a medium is a false. Well, he's a pseudo-seer. Brother Van didn't say his false prophet. He used another word. I like the word pseudo, kind of, although it is false. It means like he's a tin horn. You know, like a ritualistic sort of half-working tin horn. He can produce some things. That's kind of what I look at. And I saw them. I saw it work. Very good. I've seen it work since. But you knew where that was. But when you saw the prophet, you knew where that was. Okay, we stand on what we believe. Well, we can't do anything else. Think of it. The day that we're living in, just before the coming of the Lord, Jesus said, there'll be signs in the skies and in the earth, great sights, flying saucers, missiles, for perplexity of this age, this time, distress between nations, and fearful sights upon the earth. Remember, the fearful sights is the same word used by the, Hippocrates, which means delusions. Delusions. Crazy. What this Brother Ben said, be crazy. We're living in that day to see those things. Now for the message this morning that I've chosen, I want you to turn with me in the Scriptures over to Zechariah, 4th chapter. It was my desire to tell you these things. And he used a chisel, an iron chisel, on paper to draw sparks. And where the chisel did more than just draw sparks, it became the burning into that epistle exactly what you believe and how you believe it and where you're going. Now, I know people don't agree with that. They say, well, Brother Vail, you always were great at the overkill. Well, thank you, child. I'd sooner have the overkill than the underkill, because your underkill could get away, but my overkill ain't going nowhere without me. I ain't going nowhere without it. So I prefer that. So there you are, you see. Well, we're not all alike. As the old Indian said, good thing all men don't think alike. All men like my squaw. Well, I expect everybody to love my prophet. Believe my prophet? I don't expect it. In fact, I kind of help get him mad. Wipe your smile off your face, boy. You're on camera. That's my nature. I'm sorry. Okay. It was my desire to tell you these things. Many times these things happen, but I don't speak them. I don't say it. But this was too outstanding for me to keep from the church. It must be told. See, it must be told. And before God whom I stand, it's the truth. I know there is a God, and I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, if there's God and a Son of God, is he saying that God is his own Son? I don't read it that way. Amen. That's Jesus only in my books. I could be wrong. I don't read it that way. You know, what is it? Look, here's the earth out here. Everything that's born down here that God created foreign fashion goes back to the dust, right? Okay, I ask a question again. How can a man with red hair marry a woman with black hair, have one red-headed child, one black-headed child, and a combination of the black and the red together? That man has in his body only certain elements, and the woman in her body has only certain elements, and the soil has only certain elements. And put it all together, then it is necessary to understand and believe it is the life that determines how the chemical or the chemistry turns out. And all right, all you got to do is understand that God took a part of his life and put it into a living little bit of chemistry. That he created himself out of nothing, so to speak. It was an absolute spoken word cell, an egg and a sperm. But it was the life of God that was covered. Then he put that into a woman's womb. There's your surrogate mother, so to speak. She became the incubator. Now, all she did was draw out the liquefied forces. Force is not the word. Nutrients. That would go to that body. Therefore, that child did not have one thing in her of... Did that child did have nothing in him of her? No. She just used her body as a factory. That's all. So that was the Son of God, period. And his body was not like our body. So therefore, the time comes when we will rise from dust. We will have a body like his, for we are of the earth, earthy, and he is of the heavenly, heavenly. He's not like us. I'm glad for that. But I'm glad he identified with us. I'm glad that is the Son of God. That is the one that went down there in the river, into whom God came in the complete fullness. It's the only one he could come into in complete fullness. And remain prophet, in, out, in, out. Couldn't stand to stay in the prophet. Pardon me. But there he came. Now he lived in him and did those works at that time. See? God dwelling amongst us in the form of the Holy Spirit. And I know the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh when signs and wonders are appearing. This is the hour of the appearing, which prefaces the coming. And this is the hour where he must increase and the prophet decrease. And this is the hour of the last bit of child training and maturation, where you get your life from that word. We just got through the seven church ages and learning that we're in the last and Laodicean church age, when the church would be indifferent, get cold, denominate, be organized, organization would take over, eat it up. But a promise that there would be a little remnant left. there would be a church that would be scattered abroad everywhere. But God would gather it together and rapture it into glory, a little sanctified group somewhere waiting on the Lord. Now, I said this morning, and I keep repeating, the 8 souls that got away from here in the flood. Now, let's remember, that's only one type. You've got another type of millions, which there won't be, leaving Egypt, but only 2 over 20 went in. So the numbers were radically cut down. Then you've got a third type where 7,000 had not bowed the knee. Then you've got this little innuendo, which is nothing but an innuendo. Brother Branham repeated, he said 700. But that doesn't mean it right. Then, of course, there is a fifth I forgot about to just now. And Brother Branham said 1 per billion. He said just about 1% or something. One certain, I forget how he put it anyway. There's a billion people in the world today. No, I know there's 5 billion people, but he went to the idea of 1 per million, of what it was, and there's now around 800 million Christians, so-called, in the whole world. The rest are either Muslim or heathen or whatever they are. So you could have maybe 800, which comes close to the 700. Now, you scatter that standing here over the whole world bride, and you've got what? How many countries are there? How many million people are there to be taken from? Why, you wouldn't even, why, with this, who would care 2 cents if you missed them or not? It has become, as Brother Branham said, so common for people to miss, nobody cares anymore. Let's prove it. For some time now, you've been getting pictures in the mail and seeing them on the billboards of beautiful little children that have been stolen, perhaps killed for all we know. Isn't that true? I get them all the time. What's happened? I become callous. I just throw them away. I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you one thing. I just don't like to look at those little kids and see they're gone. And then we stab our conscience. Well, you see, most of those kids, they disappear because one of the parents snatched them from the other because they're divorced. Ha! That could be a bunch of sappy coughs telling us we're not going to look because we think it's this way. How often have the priests and the law been proven wrong? Ha! The only thing they can investigate is a parking meter ticket about. When it comes right down to reality, I'm talking right across the spectrum, brother, sister, where you go down to Dade County in Florida and see all what the cops are doing down there with drugs. You think they couldn't round up the mafia tomorrow? Come on. Why'd even Reagan let the guy go that spilled all the beans while the GOAC and the rest of them? Right? They kicked him upstairs. One of these days, God's going to kick us upstairs because we're a little troublemaker. Praise the Lord. Get kicked up there. That, the other day, when I got to Daniel 70 weeks, standing here right in the pulpit, something struck me. I've never been able to get away from it. To see the hour that we're living in. I want to go somewhere and do something else, keep it off my mind. I got too many loved ones that are unsaved, knowing what can I do to get them saved. What is there I can do? I have preached the gospel. God has done great signs and wonders like he's never done since the world. That's true. Since the times of the Lord Jesus Christ, has he ever did it in all history of time? All around the world it's gone, and still the world gets continually worse. I told you there's a backlash. There's a backlash. When your children get really defiant, I want to ask you a question. Do you now say, well, they've gone the limit, bless God, and little Johnny will settle down, hallelujah. You know little Johnny is going to get worse, right? Backlash. You got a backlash. It's not going to get better, kids, let's face it. You better pray to get out of here. See, I'm going to get out of here because I'm getting old enough to get out of here. Oh, a couple might come along with me, not too many, as far as age is concerned. Then again, if I listen to Joe and get his faith, which I think he's completely a swindler, he figures I'll live like your dad to be 85 years of age. And even with good health, Joe, you can live till you're 85 years of age. Not me. Backlash. Backlash, right? Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. It's absolutely the truth. Look at your kids when they start moving on you. You know that. You think I don't know it? Come on. Still, the world gets continually worse. But then I have to remember we're living later in church age, where they will get worse, and it said they would. Then I chose this morning, being that the message was so attacked, Another thing that I've so gotten after, they hit him with this, about preaching grace. Okay, they hit him. One man with a ministry, I'm vindicated, I'm telling you, you listen. Go away, boy, go away. Well, on the basis of my vindication, and I am the minister God has chosen, I will now tell you about grace. Out. So like a good servant of God, he tackles them right head on. He said, I'm going to tell you about vindication. I'm going to tell you about this here. We'll show you these things. I know what I'm talking about. I'm going to tell you about real grace. And that's what he starts at. And that's where I'm going to stop, right? Just about time. Okay, then next Wednesday, we'll continue, the Lord willing, on this. And just before we go, I think, Alan, you wanted prayer, didn't you? That you want prayer? I think so. So that's good. Will you come up here? Just let's all rise at this time, shall we? And Alan, you come up. And Bill, will you come up here? And Pete, you don't mind? Okay, for Alan. Now, he didn't call the elders, but so we don't need noise at all. We just lay on hands and pray for them. And remember again, now, just, we're going to do our best. You get your face out of the way. You just,
amen.
We're going to try to believe God for you. We will. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and you said in your word that if any two agreed upon the kingdom, as touching the kingdom, it should be done. And Lord, this is something our brother has requested, and it does concern the kingdom, as the prophet was saying this morning about healings and signs and wonders. And we know you're here today. You haven't changed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, laying our hands upon him, Lord, we will take it upon ourselves by faith to rebuke this condition in his eyes, O God, whatever it causes. At this moment, Lord, it should lose its grip. And whatever it is doing, Lord, should be completely reversed and go back to normalcy. And Lord, by your word, having done what you said, we believe he will be healed. That he not only will be, but he is here for you said, Lord, that even the very sins of anything were there would be forgiven.
Yes.
We thank you for this now, for releasing our brother and helping him to help and to serve you with what you give him by better vision. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Let's just sing that chorus, take the name of Jesus with you.